You're capable of more things than you can ever imagine. When I started, I was really limited in my head. I was underestimating myself a lot. It was one of the biggest reasons to don't really prospect faster in the sport in the beginning.
Yo, gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider podcast by GoroNation. My name is Phil, and today's guest is an impressive statics athlete, an impressive planche, one of the strongest planches in the world. I'm happy to welcome you to the show, Yordan Stanchev from Bulgaria.
Thanks for that, Phil. Welcome, and hi, everyone.
We had some tries in the beginning to do the introduction right. I'm happy that we are finally done with the interview, and so we can kick off with the question: how do you present yourself?
At least we made it in the end. To introduce myself, okay. My name is Yordan Stanchev. A calisthenics athlete, obviously, and I'm trying to train people online whenever I have the opportunity. Sometimes I attend some competitions to judge. Yeah, so everything has started long ago, 10 years of experience right now.
Well,
Yeah, a lot of time, and I hope this thing will continue many more years because that's a big part of my lifestyle and it's a big part of my life. So that's for me.
That's already a cool introduction. Something that I directly want to qu ask. You said you attend competitions as a judge right now. You don't compete anymore, or maybe in the future again.
No, I would like to compete again, but only in static competitions because I had to rethink again for what type of competitions I should attend because some people know, but I have a herniated disc as diagnostic. So when I make something which is really dynamic in the same mean of the word, some kind of rude move to the body, and my spine is feeling everything. So the statics is a little bit more comfortable to play with, and my strength is there.
Okay, and there aren't so many competitions that only do statics, right? There is Burning Gate, which is one statics competition.
Yeah, one of them. But still hadn't any chance to go there because in 2018 they invited me, but in the same time there was a World Cup in Moscow. So everything was already done, so I couldn't attend there.
Okay. Yeah. Then the hard facts. People always ask these. How old are you?
I am 22 years old.
22. How heavy? Like, f how tall first? How tall?
Total 1 meter and 83.4.
Okay. And how heavy right now?
Right now, I think 72.
72 kg. Okay, cool. So quite tall for a calisthenics athlete, like for a statics athlete,
Indeed.
definitely, which makes it even more impressive. But we will come to this later again concerning the height. Tell us the story. How did you get in touch with the sport? How was your first touch point with it? What were your goals in the beginning?
My first touch with the sport was in 2011, like I said, 10 years ago. There were some Bulgarian guys back then. The name of their team was Explosive Force Crew. So they made the first competition in Bulgaria, a video, one big video of competition in Sofia. But I'm not living in Sofia, so I just saw it through the network. Then I realized before even to start with street workout, I was training science. Since really young age, because I had my first computer really later. No internet, nothing. And if I was bored, I was doing just push-ups in my room. And that was something I used to love to do. I had two of dumbbells. I was making a biceps curls also, but just these basics. And that was during the years. And when I was 11 years old, just before to make 12 years old. I saw these guys and I was okay, probably that is the thing I'm supposed to do, because before to start with street workout, I try to attend to the fitness. But I'm living in a really small city, and my mom found that, and she said to me, "You're too young to go to the fitness, and since I know you, you put really heavy weights to start with. I won't become knowing you're attending there, because you may affect your health. So trying something else." Okay, then I found there is something like parkour. She wasn't happy again. I was climbing the high buildings in my city again. So the answer was again no. But I was like, okay, see this. And I'm showing videos of muscle ups back then, because that was the main level. Muscle ups, front lever, back lever. There was no planche back then. I mean, that's a massive sport, as a massive move. And she said, okay, it seems legit. Okay, it seems legit. And years later, she is regretting that, I guess.
Oh. Because of the injuries or why?
Yeah. Mainly.
Okay. Wow. So, yeah, interesting. So the parkour, if your mother would have been like more tolerant, let's call it, or like less careful, you would have ended maybe as a professional, I don't know, lifter or even parkour guy.
I guess so, but she's a caring mother, so I can't blame her.
That's cool. Yeah, what was your goal in the beginning? Did you, like you already said, that there was no planche really back in the days, the level like was much, much lower. But what was your goal? Was it the muscle up that you wanted to learn? Was it to get a physique, or what was it?
I was just working for the skills, not as my physical. I mean, I was aiming a bit for my physique, but it was more for the skill. I was trying both in the same time, but moreover for the skills. In the beginning, I was aiming only for the muscle ups. Before to start with any front lever, I went through all the kind of muscle ups. I mean, except for the one arm muscle up, I went from this grip, the X grip, this wide, whatever is in your mind. I have done it already. And then first I tried with front lever. I understood it's harder than the back lever. So I went back into the back lever, but indeed I've got front lever faster than the back lever, which was something strange. I don't know how. Probably more attempts, because I was training more on the on this logic, more attempts, and back then less basics for the element itself. So yeah, the element for which you're putting more efforts, it will go in front of the other skills. So in the beginning, I was aiming only for the front lever. When I saw the planche, I was like, shit, no way. No way to do that. And I started to try it many times, many months. But if I have to start again from nothing, I will do it in weeks, not in months.
The planche?
Yeah, the planche. Once you understand it, it's easy.
Okay, so maybe you can share one or two secrets today. We'll see. But wow, that's impressive. When you say, like, when you understand the planche, is it the physics behind it or like the training method that you need? What do you mean with when you understand the planche?
It's really a complex thing. A lot of things are gathering during your journey to achieve the planche. It's a lot of motivation. Yeah, in the beginning is the motivation. When you go close to the planche, in your opinion only, there comes the despair a bit. Then you try to think more what you have missed, what you have to do next. And just by eliminating your mistakes and finding your opportunities, everything comes to its place. So mainly mentality with a lot of thinking about the movement.
Okay.
Hard work also, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. So how long did it take from the first workout ever, like a street workout, since you get to know the sport, to the first planche hold?
2011 to 2014. I guess 3 years from the first muscle up to the planche.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, let's jump into maybe some advice that you can give generally. I know that you like, that you also create like personalized plans for athletes, which is something that maybe some of the listeners are interested in, but, general advice, because we received a lot of questions. Yeah. Ask him what's the good way to learn the planche, planche secrets, you know, like, but some general advice, some general information input that you can give the listeners and me, of course, about the planche.
Well, everyone is a different approach is suitable for different people. Many people should know that. Also, for some guys, it's better to understand the planche move by tech planche progression. Personally, I haven't learned the planche by this way, but I learned it throughout leans, only planche leans, because for example, if I put my legs on some place like my shoulders height on the same place my shoulders height, I'm feeling the height on for which my height for which my legs should stay. And then my muscle memory activates. So my body is remembering the exactly position for which I'm trying to simulate the planche. And then I'm trying to activate muscle by muscle and to think, is this joining in the planche? I mean, do you feel this muscle directly when you do a planche attempt? And I'm trying to make the same thing, but with planche leans, because it's way more faster and it's easier to understand where to apply muscle pressure in your body. I mean, that was my way. Some other guys may be easier for them if they use rubber bands. As I said, many guys taught it with only tech planche progression, but that was my way. For everyone is different.
Wow. And along the way, did you ever feel that your height is a disadvantage?
I had this moment. Actually, when I started, I was around 15 centimeters smaller, but I was training mainly outside in the beginning. So I was doing only muscle ups, and with all this hanging on the bar, probably it affected my body to grow a little bit. So yeah, sometimes it's I feel it because it's like to tie a stick with weights on your legs and to say let's go to do the planche, because your the lever of your body will go a lot backwards and you need to lean more, which will require an extra strength.
Yeah, Makes sense. And did you ever lose motivation, like that you said, I'm doing parkour, I'm too tall for statics?
For that, no. In the very beginning, I mean, in the first 4 years, I haven't lost any kind of motivation. I was hyped as hell in every workout, no exception. Later, when I was aiming to do this with a professional purpose one day, and when injuries started to appear, and like for the last year when I had to stop 6 times in 1 year, just you train 2 months and then you stop, month and stop. There's no way to don't lose motivation, but I'm trying to hang myself there.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, like in retrospective nowadays, do you know what was the mistake? Why did you have all these injuries? Was it like genetics, or was it a bad training approach, or something else?
Many things. I was training, first of all, alone with no other guys, alone in the city. I mean, that's not an excuse to don't research in internet. It's a big space for any kind of information. You can find everything, but there comes another factor. You're too, you're confident in yourself and you want to reach all the knowledge by your own. And I'm still like that in some perspective, which is a bad habit. I truly trust in some kind of information and I want to find it by myself. That's why if somebody wants to know something from me, it's really hard to give something for free anymore, because it costs me really a lot for my health. And yeah, many people should know that when someone is reaching a high level in something, there is something behind that.
Yeah. That's definitely something that's I feel like it's evolving in street workouts. So like people are more and more appreciating or seeing that they can't get every question answered for free, because the athletes that are at the high level, they also have to make space beside their real work, or coaching is their work, and so they also have to pay their lifestyle with it. Since when are you offering the plans and the coaching?
Nice one. I think it was in 2019, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. And your goal was to, because like I can imagine you get a lot of questions. When I see the questions that people asked to ask you about the planche, about the injuries and nutrition and everything, I can imagine that you get a lot of questions. Like, was it the step that you said, yeah, I want to make this my profession? Or is it the goal that you, what is your goal with the coaching and with your lifestyle?
With the coaching, my goal is one day to have my own gym and to accept many people which have I really desire to learn something, because I've been trying everything, almost everything. I mean, there is no way some guy to try everything, but almost everything, from dynamics to statics. And I was deeply analyzing everything, so I really can't help. Or if I can't, there is something better even than the experience. The way to know how to observate, how to look at the people movement and to tell their mistakes, because you're already into the sport from long ago, and you would know what are the most common mistakes in every exercise. Also, not only this, but I want to continue, but with bigger auditory also. I want to make in some workshops. Not some. I want to visit and really many different countries. I mean, I don't really want to stop with this. That's what they want to do.
Oh, that's cool. If you would be like, if you could talk to your 2011 self, like, what would you tell him to do differently?
One of the things will be obviously place warm up.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, because many years I really skipped this, and I don't know to make experiments with my health anymore.
So warm up was definitely one reason why you yeah. suffered under the
one
heart.
Of the main reasons. Yes.
Okay. Something else.
Something else. You're capable of more things than you can ever imagine. Another thing. Because when I started, I was really limited in my head. I was seeing many people doing some things I wasn't able to do. And if they trained from long ago, in my head was, I'm supposed to train even longer than them to achieve that. Yeah, I was underestimating myself a lot. Yeah, it was one of the biggest reasons to don't really prospect faster in this sport in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Did you like more overtrain, or did you? Would you now tell yourself train more, train harder?
About that, in the beginning, I was overtraining a lot, really a lot. In the first 2 years, not months, it was years. It was like I'm finishing with school, I'm going to the bars, I'm there. Until the night, back home.
Oh, with friends?
In the beginning, yes. There was, it was interesting for them to see some new things, something they can try. But later they can see it took many efforts to achieve something. So one by one, they're gone.
Because they didn't have the high ambitions and the high goals and also the motivation that you had.
Yes, yes. They're not ready to give the same amount of efforts I have given. Because they see my determination and they're not ready for that.
And that's really impressive, because I think it also needs a lot of dedication to continue the sport. If like your friends say, yeah, it's too much for me or something, it takes dedication to stay with it. And yeah, but it's something that like I see a lot of times that in the beginning, when the motivation is high, like you really tend to overtrain, like a lot of beginners, their joints aren't ready, their tendons aren't ready. So they go in too much.
Yeah, indeed. Many preparation exercises are required in the beginning before any element you're aiming for.
So in the first year, if somebody is really starting from let's say nothing, like a normal fitness level of a young guy, how often does it make sense to train per week?
Until his body is adapting to the pressure and the lifestyle of the calisthenics, I guess two or three times per week.
Yeah. And not the six or seven times per week that a lot of people are doing.
Yeah. Sure. Like me in the beginning.
Yeah, I think like I don't know, like, and this is where tendonitis comes from, like shoulder pain, wrist pain, like everything, like yeah.
But the strange is I didn't have any tendonitis back then. I have it now.
Oh, okay.
When I warm up and I'm trying to do properly everything.
What? Yeah, that's That's maybe the mystery of the body, that something like this comes 10 years after, or when the body is saying, no, I don't want anymore. Because also like chicken wing muscle-ups, like I see people doing the chicken wing muscle-ups and they say, yeah, it doesn't hurt. But I think like, yeah, but in 3, 5, 4 years, something, it will hurt if you have like the disbalance in your shoulders. So
like the body is telling you, you have tortured me enough. Stop.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a warning signal.
Mm-hmm.
True. Yeah. Let's talk about injuries. You already talked about the herniated discs. What injuries did you have along the way, and what did you learn from them?
Okay, the first injury was in 2013, in the end of 2013. It wasn't from any static move, but I was trying some kind of dynamics. You know, when you are spinning around the bar, just with some kind of wristbands around your wrist and the bar.
The giant, right?
Giants. Mm-hmm. I wasn't with the most suitable bands for this purpose. It was elastic, and at one rate, it just stuck while I was spinning around. And yeah, my finger just remaining.
Oh, what?
I mean, it didn't cut from my arm, but there was a big hole right there.
Whoa, that's insane.
And in matter of seconds, I saw how the color is changing. Okay, that was the first thing.
No dynamics anymore. That's it.
No, and I continued after that with dynamics. But after that, I said, okay, I won't use bar for a certain time, and I will concentrate on planche for now. So they removed the plaster from my arm, but the finger was still not in condition to train. And I mean, especially for planche on the ground, because back then I still didn't have any parallettes in my home. So I was supposed to train on the ground, but for planche, many pressure was there exactly in this point where I broke my finger. So I started directly with Maltese without to be able to do a straddle planche. And here I'm answering to the next of the question. Yes, you can do Maltese without to do a full planche, because the things are not so strictly related and you are working more on different muscles, which are more for your weight, for the width of the planche. So I was starting directly for Maltese, and back then with the time I was training both planche and Maltese in the same time. When my finger recovered, I didn't want to waste any time, because I was already aiming for the competitions, and yeah, no time, as I said. In my opinion, okay, the next injury was because of a pure stupidity. How to say it? Imagine a distance 6 meters, I jumped from a place with the same height like my desk. There was a ground from below, and I was supposed to grab a bar from this distance. Okay, I grabbed the bar, but I couldn't remain dropped for the bar, so I fell on the ground. And my leg was still bent, and I directly fell on my leg, and it just cracked. I mean, if you imagine your leg in this position, like it's normal, mm-hmm. It was like for the gymnastics move in this position. Yeah, and my body weight just fell on it. At least it was only a leg. So mm-hmm. I continued with statics at the same time. Okay, yeah. It recovered. That was the second injury. The next injury was, I think, from backflip. Yeah. Again, the same leg, but on a higher place. So I was supposed to do nothing for 1 month because I had only to lay because I broke this tight bone, the most hard bone to break in the whole body. I broke it. And if they had to make me a surgery, they had to break my spine. I mean, there, just to make the surgery. So I was supposed only to lay in my bed and to go to the toilet. Wow. Luckily, I just had exams to finish the school. So I was focusing only on the studying. Yeah. And that I think are the main injuries.
Well, so you don't really like your legs, as it sounds like.
It sounds like that, yes.
I respect that you can laugh about that, it really sounds like bad things, but it seems that you're not mad at yourself or something.
I'm not. You can learn something from the bad situations more than from the good ones.
True. Yeah. That's true. That's a good attitude. Training schedule. People asked, what does your training look like today? How does your schedule look like?
It really depends. Because, how to say it, I'm trying to switch between a light and a high intensive workout and heavy workout. I mean, high intensive and heavy in one. Mm-hmm. And I'm remaining 1 day in the week for basics also, for the whole body. Legs, pull-ups, dips, everything. If I do only a light workout, I'm trying to do a preparation of exercises for the next heavy workout. Sometimes it's right in the next day. Sometimes I may overdid it. So I'm doing 1 day of pause. And then is the heavy workout. Usually I train approximately 4 or 5 times per week right now. And yeah, that's it.
Okay. What do you think of complete deload weeks? That was also a question.
Complete deload weeks. Depending from the athlete. I have never done that. I have to be honest.
So like you are not doing complete deload weeks, but you're doing light workouts, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And the reason of the light workouts is active recovery, or like what's the main purpose of a light workout?
It's mainly to stretch my tendons and muscles before the main load in the next workouts.
Okay. Diet. What does your diet look like? Do you eat healthy?
About eating healthy, most of the time, yes. Because I'm living in a small city, as I said. And here we have an opportunity to produce a natural food by our own. Our food in my family, which we're eating every day, it's most of all natural. I don't need any kind of diets because of that. Also, genetics. It's really hard for me to gain any kind of weight. Even with the protein, I'm using it, no effects. I'm trying it with different methods, still nothing. Or if I see something, there is a case when I have to travel, and again, something about myself. I have a really nervous stomach, and when I travel, it refuses to take any kind of food. So yeah, the topic with the eating for me, it's really difficult.
Okay. I always admire like the people who eat like the self-grown food or like food like vegetables, etc. from really from the landscape, because like we're in a city here and you always only get the tomatoes which taste like water, and like every and like when you go like to a landscape and you eat like fresh vegetables from real ground, I would say they taste like something. And
Yeah,
do you
there's a
think,
different taste.
yeah, do you think this makes a big difference in minerals and like in nutrition
Yes,
values?
because they grow in natural conditions, while you don't know how it's produced, the other thing.
No. When you say like you live in a small city, what does small mean? How many inhabitants does it have?
Around 6,000 of people in the city, so completely
6,000, okay.
small.
And how far are you away from Sofia?
260 kilometers.
Okay.
For Bulgaria, it's a lot because our roads are not in the great condition. So
Okay, so you're not like are you regularly visiting the guys in the gym like there, like the people from Sofia?
I thought I'm going more often to Sofia because I'm visiting my girlfriend, and we're seeing each other really rare, and that's the main reason why I'm going to Sofia.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and you have your dogs. Like I always see them in your stories. They are really young, right? Puppies.
4 months.
Wow, that's cool. That's something that's really cool. Also, if you live like in a small city where you have some space for them, that's really
Yeah,
cool.
they're afraid. The garden is devastated.
Yeah. Coming back to nutrition, you said that you take protein. Like in general, your opinion about supplements?
About supplements, in my case, they're mainly helping because of my fast metabolism, I can't rely a lot to the food. Because I have an extremely fast metabolism, no matter how much I eat, there is no matter. And no matter is it a junk food or just sweets, no, it's nothing.
Oh. Okay, so like if I can sum that up already in your interview, it's really plant advice, recovery advice, like injuries, etc. Like everything, how you say it depends on the person. So you're like really somebody who is looking individually at every athlete that you have in coaching or like as a friend, and you have to see what fits for everybody. So is it true that your general advice for somebody wanting to improve as a human being in calisthenics, etc., really to test a lot of things to find the right method for himself, let it be nutrition?
Yes. For the nutritions, currently no. I'm making only this the routines only just with exercises in them. But yeah, before to make anything, I'm asking the people to send me a video with the element which they want to improve or they want to learn, and based on that, I'm starting to think what it's more suitable for them. In what proportions, like sets and reps, because there is not any universal program for any people. You cannot give the same thing to everyone. That's not allowed. My personal opinion.
Yeah, totally understandable. When you look into the future, where do you see the future of our sport? Where do you see the future of calisthenics and street workout?
I think there is a big future in calisthenics actually because it's a really free sport with many different alternatives. a lot of knowledge is already in the internet. You can do everything by your own. You can learn everything by your own, or there are already a lot of experienced athletes in different ends of the world, if we can say it like that. And street workout can be connected with many different sports, because for example, I was trying to combine kickboxing with street workout also, and because the coach there is my uncle in the city, and seeing some different exercises, how he's structuring the exercise one after another. I mean, one to be extremely quick, just to keep your breath and to keep the endurance, and the another part in the same exercise, just to keep this your strength to increase by its own naturally. I was thinking about that and trying to implement the same thing about my programs, and to try like to make supersets, like not supersets, like combos with basics, but combining strength and endurance in one.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that's what I like about calisthenics and street workout as well. It's a really functional sport. It will help you in combat sports, as you said, when you need like explosive strength, or like the straight arm strength is also helpful in a lot of sports. So yeah, definitely. What are your goals this year? What can we expect from you this year?
Stay healthy and no injuries. That's the main goal. Like for achievements with any of skills, I'm still in process.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, we're coming to an end of the interview. We still have some quick questions, quick answers at the end. Okay. What do you prefer, pizza or burger?
Pizza.
Pizza. maybe a bad question, but are you a dog or a cat person?
Dog.
Do you have a favorite location for holidays or somewhere that you definitely want to go?
Mountains. I mean, something personally for me, I hate the sea. If someone is saying holiday, they say, let's go to the sea. No, I hate it. 2 or 3 days, okay, but not more.
Well, okay. Yeah, what are some athletes that inspire you in your workouts, in your motivation?
I mean, one by one through the timeline or just one?
No, if you have a few, a timeline is good.
Okay, some unknown guys from Bulgaria who currently they're not training. Juan Bekov is one of them. Then Zev Zakavelli, when I saw his videos, can go for King also. Next, it was Nikita Anisimov and Vladimir Satkov from Russia. The end, myself.
Cool. Cool. Do you have a favorite book that you want to recommend?
Favorite book? No, I think you can take information from many different sources. So from any source, you can find something useful, and from any other source, you can find something more useful. But more of the things I'm finding, it's a lot of just information just to be there.
Okay. Do you have a favorite movie?
Favorite movie? Would be easier if I say an anime, but okay. Favorite movie is Never Back Down, for example, and Undisputed.
Okay, Never Back Down and Undisputed. Okay. Yeah, last question. For the favorite thing, favorite song right now, do you have one?
Favorite song? David Zonk. There's so many. Shit. let's say the unguided. How it was legendary, for example.
Okay. The best calisthenics event you've ever visited?
In 2015, won a competition in Bulgaria. But which it wasn't like international, but for us it was something really great. Because if we do a lot of statics, if you're one of the if you're one of the countries with the best statics in the world, yeah, in your country would be that event.
Okay. That's something that I also wrote down. Why does Bulgaria have so many strong athletes? Well, why do you think is it? Like, is it the culture? Is it the genetics? Is it the mindset, the hardworking mentality? What is it?
I think the mindset, moreover, than everything else. I remember when I started. The first competition when I went, I was seventh from 38 participants, but I wanted to do it better. So in the next competition, I was second with chances for the first place. But yeah, that's another topic. We have a really strong sense for to be competitive there.
Okay. Cool. And the last question for this interview, what's your message to the calisthenics community? What do you want to tell the listeners?
What to tell the listeners? Okay, I would like to say everyone is different and don't try to be a copy of someone else. Try to find your own style and to develop it. Even if you don't know your strong sides, there are such sites, so just trying to find them and try to work only not only on them but and to your weaknesses as well, because if you want to compete, for example, on a statics competition, there is something like completeness for which judges are looking for. Another thing, don't be a copy. It's courage the other guys who are trying to make something which for them it's something big. I mean, don't try to discourage them, because I'm seeing a lot of comments in the Instagram network. And when someone is trying to reach something and he's trying to make the better of himself, and they're like, no, that's not the thing. Here, this, but that is not a constructive way to say to the people how to fix their way of training, how to fix their elements. They're just trying to push them back. And when I see some kind of comments, I'm trying to take part in the comments and to say, look, this is not right, and you please try to avoid this, because we're trying to be a big family after all, but
yeah,
sometimes that's not happening.
True. If I can add something to that, because it's also something that is really, really important for me, not only personally, but like also with Gornation, is that I really feel that some people also take the perfect form thing too serious, and like that they hate too much on the form of somebody, and like people are not allowed to post something with training form or something from their workout, something spontaneous anymore, because everybody is feared that he will now be hated because of the form. It also goes a little bit into this direction of what you just said, but I think this is something that can really slow down the growth of our sport if the family is not holding together, but there is they tear apart by the form, by the hate, by making fun of beginners, because everybody started it somehow. I think like your muscle ups in the beginning also didn't always look that clean, mine neither. So like, it's really important that you respect that, and that's, you said that perfectly.
Do this perfectly from the very beginning. But that's not only, you said the form. Yeah, that's one really interesting, because some guys are trying to put some standard for the form at all, but there is not something like a standard. I mean, this freestyle, this free sport, you shouldn't put a standard or something like that. Okay, protraction is useful. Okay, I cannot disagree. You have better control, easier presses, and it's easier for a longer combo. Okay, but you cannot say your planche, it's not clean, for example, because I might not like the hollow body, for example. I might like another form, but that doesn't mean I cannot do it. I just don't like it. Everyone has his own preferences.
That's it. I think you summed it up perfectly fine. That's something that I'm really happy that you talked about it, because as I said, it's something that's really important if we want to grow the sport, if we want to make it even bigger and like allow more people to live from it, to be able to work on it full time, et cetera, and this is something that just slows it down. And yeah, as you said, like the sport is quite young still, and there are people like putting standards for the planche form and et cetera, and yeah. I mean, you said it. So yeah, Jordan, how can people get in touch with you? Where can they find you? We will put all the links in the description. But
you can find me in my Instagram profile, Jordan Stanchev, and via my email, which it's written in my Instagram profile also, and with Facebook.
Cool. That's perfect. We will put all the links in the description below. Also, if somebody is interested in getting his individual plan from you to be able to progress faster and to have somebody who is like looking from the outside and to make sure that somebody is not overtraining, that somebody is progressing right. You also do a video analysis, right?
If somebody it's not able to understand everything by its own, by everything I wrote in the routine, yeah, we're making a video course.
Cool. Sounds really nice. Thanks a lot for your time. I really appreciated it. And thanks a lot for all the insights that you gave for the injuries, for the planche, for your planche progressions that were for you. That's also something that I never thought about, which definitely makes sense. So overall, really insightful interview. Thanks a lot. And before you can end the episode, Jordan, I want to say thank you to everyone listening to this till the end. It's been an interview again around an hour, and I'm always super happy if somebody is listening to this till the end. So big, big thank you to you listening to this. And if you want to support the series, we are super happy if you give it a thumbs up. And apart from that, stay healthy. And Jordan, you can have the last words.
First of all, thanks for the opportunity to invite me to talk there with you. Really appreciate that. Thanks, like you said, to everyone for watching this video, and I'm glad I was there to talk with you.